Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
The Slaughter Podcast won't be discussing topics that some listeners may find disturbing, but we may still swear.
Hi guys!
Hey!
Welcome to a special episode.
Well, especially shit.
It's just different. It's an alternative episode.
Is that like when someone cheats and you say, were they better me? And you say, no, not better, just different.
Yeah. It's not going to be better or worse. It's going to be exactly the same standard.
But no crime. Ba, ba, ba. We've done non-crime.
There's a crime theme running through it, and that we're going to talk a little bit about a prominent figure in prison reform.
Yeah. So I'm going to talk to you about... basically, I was trying to research and I just thought, I want to look at a woman, but... I wanted to be good.
You've pleased yourself with this one, haven't you?
Fuck everyone else. My podcast, do what I fucking well please. So,
podcast is it? I did see something where you wrote, "Oh, I'm Lucy. I'm the host of this," and I was like, "Okay."
I'm my co-host.
You're the host, and I'm the co-host. Yeah. Is that how it works? Yeah. To be fair, she does a lot of the work.
So, I just wanted to do it, so I've done it. Job done, Romeo done. So,
That's what I do.
Born in 1780. So this is an old story.
Oldest woman alive.
this is an old story, but a true one. It's true, unless some crime. So Elizabeth Fry was...
It's like I was saying to you before, the more you try and sell it to me, the more suspicious I am about it. It's a good story, let's go.
So Elizabeth was born as part of a massive family. She lived in Norwich. And then at the age of 5, they moved away from Norwich to Earlham Estate outside of Norwich. So, technically they're still there, but it took so long to get anywhere, I think they thought they'd move to another town. But nowadays, it'd be like 5 minute drive.
I was like, well done, love.
Yeah. Family...
I love that it's the only distinguishing feature of it is that it's near Norwich as well. It's like, you might as well have stayed fucking put.
So, her family name was Gurney. And they owned a bank called the Gurney Bank. So she was pretty rich. They're quite a well-off family. And they lived in the same home for years to come. So they stayed in this house for a long time afterwards. So Elizabeth's mother was called Catherine Bell. And she was a relative of Barclay, who was like Barclay's bank.
Oh. Really? So all the bankers stick together?
All the bankers stick together. So when Elizabeth was just 12, her mother died. Her father never remarried, never looked for another woman.
Good.
Loyal.
If I die, I definitely don't want my husband to remarry. I don't want him to be happy. I want him to be sad for the rest of his life.
Want a shrine.
Yes! Make like a little pillow malt, like pillow sausage in the bed so it's like I'm still there. Like lay my clothes out every morning. No, people's lives should not continue as normal.
No.
Stop the clocks.
As a result of this, Elizabeth had quite a terrible fear of death because obviously she'd seen it really close to her. Mm. But she was one of 12 children, so that in those days the tradition was kind of that the older sister would just take the place of the mum.
Yeah.
So she knew her mum as a sister as a mum from then on, and she was also called Catherine, so job done.
No difference.
Yeah.
No better or worse, just different. That's the new tagline of this whole podcast.
So She lived in a really happy house. The family liked spending time together.
With 12 of them. Yeah. I mean, amongst 12 people, odds are you'll find someone you like.
Yeah, but also someone that does.
Like, you've got to keep going. Have enough children so one of them's successful.
Yeah, two wasn't enough for my family.
No. They needed some backups.
A golden child and a duffer. So they had lots of land and they rode ponies. They played outdoors. So you could tell they were rich. Mm-hmm. But they were doing good. All the children were homeschooled as well, which in those days, although it was quite common for the boys to be homeschooled, it was quite rare for the girls to get education. So her mother had really been quite strong in saying that she wanted the girls educated, and she was ahead of her time by that. So they had a governess and they had tutors who came in. Elizabeth was the third child out of the 12, and she was sickly as well, so she'd get ill quite a lot. I know. So she spent time in bed with neuralgia, which is where you have damaged nerves, which cause really sharp pain. So if you eat certain things, it's really horrible. Luke's granddad had it. It just sounds like shooting pains down. You can't enjoy stuff. But
I hate that. Like, I've been sick this week. And if you can't eat things, that's it. All my happiness is gone. Like, what is life anymore? If I can't even enjoy bread, what is the point of this? I was seriously suicidal, being like, there's nothing left for me here. I'm just going to throw it up anyway.
It's so true. When I had norovirus and I was just throwing up or farting out everything, I was so miserable because I just wanted a hearty meal. And
there's a lot of joy in that.
There is a lot of joy in a nice meal, nice dinner.
Everyone's going to be like, they must be a bearer, right? Fatties.
Did you go home when you got ill? Back to your mum's?
They came here.
Oh, that's even worse.
My dad came round and brought chicken soup. And then my mum had to come round later in the evening to check that my dad had given me chicken soup.
Bless her.
Everything's fine.
See, I tried to stay at my house and Luke was like, I'm taking you to your mum's.
I've had enough of this bullshit.
He was like, I could do the evening shift, but there's no one here in the day. He just shipped me off to mum's. Oh, no, I think he phoned my mum and made her come get me.
So when he says, in a few weeks, in sickness and in health, he'll be winking at your mum.
With her help. So she wasn't naturally academic either. She didn't really enjoy the schoolwork. So she's, I don't know, maybe amping up the sickliness every now and then. She had like a happy childhood. They were Quakers.
Nice.
Do you know much about Quakers?
Yep.
It's like religion without the fun parts.
Yes.
No nice clothes, plain dress, no oaths, no alcohol.
No singing.
No singing, no dancing.
Shitloads of porridge.
Yeah. Opposed to slavery though.
Yeah. I'm not saying they're horrible people. No. They're just very serious.
Very serious.
Which, to be fair, if you're going to if you're going to believe something, take it fucking seriously.
Yeah, I know, but you've got to have a nice bit of singing.
Bit of singing. I think God would like it.
Yeah, loves a good song. So, a part of that, her mother had encouraged her to work with the sick and the poor. So she had quite strong morals. Now, in her teenage years, she became friends with a girl called Amelia Anderson. And Amelia Anderson's family were quite heavily involved in the suffragette movement and had quite strong opinions about that. So she picked up quite a lot of their views as well, being exposed to those ideas about equality. And she also became interested in the works of Thomas Paine, who was a writer and philosopher. Have you heard of him?
Yeah, I've only heard of him because of Hamilton, the musical.
Oh.
Where she says, I've been reading Common Sense by Thomas Paine.
I don't know it. What's Hamilton about?
Oh my gosh. So, it's a hip-hop musical about the life of Alexander Hamilton, who was the first treasurer of America, like one of the founding fathers. There's going to be loads of Americans now, and you got it wrong. But I know a lot of the musical off by heart, so...
So that's how you learn facts. Honestly, if I could learn Spanish through songs, I'd know it in 6 months, be fluent. Maybe I should just learn Spanish songs.
Have a listen to the soundtrack. It's interesting.
I can pick up a song like that.
It's my aeroplane soundtrack because it's long enough that when I've flown somewhere, I can just listen to the whole album.
Yeah.
Done.
It's like when we're driving around America and you listen to the Mormon musical over and over.
I was like, I will convert Lucy to something. Yeah.
So when she got to 18, Elizabeth became interested in the works of William Savory, or Savory. I'm not sure exactly how you say it, but...
Are we just really hungry at this point? Like, everything. She must be called Savory.
She was called Ham Sandwich Dubois.
He was an American Quaker who preached about how important it is to help the poor and to fight injustice. And she really took this on. She was like, this is important.
I bet she fancied him.
Probably. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure she's brilliant and everything, but it helps if the person that you are infatuated with has, you know, good morals. Power is sexy. Preaching can be kind of sexy.
Guy with a guitar on stage could be a real average Joe once he's on that stage.
If you go see a band, I mean, I had it with a girl, and I went to this band and there's this female singer in it, and I was like, oh my gosh, she's amazing, she's so cool. I was like, I'll never be as cool as her. And then I saw her signing t-shirts at the back and I was like, oh, I'd take a selfie with you and not be ashamed.
Yeah, there's something about being on stage though, bumps you up. That's why a lot of men get into music, apparently.
Not the blowjobs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for the funny. So she began working with charities and teaching children to read on a Sunday, and she actually set up her own Sunday school. So already, she's better than I. She achieved more by age 20.
Oh, shit, she's really
good. Than I've done.
Sunday school, though. If we wanted to set up a Sunday school, we could.
Yeah, we totally could.
Slaughter Sunday school.
We're trying to, like, justify. Yeah, if we wanted to.
Yeah.
I could do that.
I could be a millionaire if I wanted.
What's that from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend? Who does that song? It's like, if I wanted to.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah.
Love it. So, age 20, Elizabeth became a stricter Quaker. So she started going hardline with it. And her family up until...
Just stop smiling.
Yeah. Her family just, they weren't that keen on that. Although they were Quakers, they were also a bit more chill about it. And I think it's like... My mum was always like, oh, you can go to church if you want. But then when I was signed up for a gap year, she was like, oh, let's go too far, love.
She doesn't want you radicalised.
No. Through that, she met Joseph Fry, her future husband. He was another Quaker and they married in 1800. They immediately started having children and they had 11 children in total.
Oh my God.
I mean, population being much. Imagine if you've got 12 children in the family, they all have 11 children. It's just...
Well, I'm just thinking, ridiculous. Like, that's how much of your life is spent pregnant. That's no fun.
Yeah.
Mrs. Guinness, when I went to Dublin one time to the Guinness storehouse, it tells you about his wife who had something like 20 children. And then it's like, oh, 12 of them survived. I can't remember. It's a huge number. And I remember thinking she literally had a child and then got pregnant again with as soon as she could. Her life, she's just a cow. A breeder. It's like fucking Handmaid's Tale. I'm not into it.
No.
Although I would enjoy legitimately being fat.
Yeah.
Like, I've got a reason. Don't stare at me.
So, in those days, though, focusing on a family and being a mother would have been, that's it now. Like, you've done a bit of charity work. That's your lot. Now you're a mum.
Mm-hmm.
But not for Elizabeth Fry. So in 1813, one of the...
Maybe that's how she set up a Sunday school. She just bred it.
Yeah.
I mean, we could set up a school if we physically gave birth to all the pupils.
Yeah, they've got nowhere else to go. They live here.
Like, we had an achievement.
I set this up. So in 1813, one of the Fry's family friends visited Newgate Prison. Now, this prison... was the main prison in London. If you read books from this time, novels about this time, if the amount of novels that I've read that where they go to Newgate Prison, I mean,
yeah,
people were in and out of that. He was absolutely disgusted by the conditions, particularly in the women's prison. And he was told not to go in there when he got there. They said, oh, don't go see the women because they're so feral, they're going to harm you. When he got in there, they weren't feral, but they were just in an extreme suffering state. So he said it was absolutely appalling. It'd been open since 1785 and it was the execution capital of Britain, and 1169 people were put to death there. 1120 men and 49 women. So I've looked into this a little bit. I have some more prison stats for you. People tended to be punished by death for about 20 different crimes. So it wasn't just murder. There were 200 that they could be hanged for.
Deception!
Loads of stuff. Looking at you funny.
Only having two children to contribute to the Sunday school.
Yeah. ugly. But in reality, they didn't actually...
200 is a lot.
Yeah, they didn't actually use that. There were about 20 that they did, though.
Oh, 20, is that what you said?
No, 200 that they could. But in reality, they were like, that's a bit ridiculous. Yeah. So they actually were only really hanging for 20 crimes. So for minor ones, they would give transportation. Now, you wouldn't get a sentence of imprisonment. So the prison was just there to hold you till you got your sentence at this time. So it would be hanging, transportation, whatever else, some other, you know, flogging, fine, I don't know. But it wasn't till 1840 that imprisonment.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Was really just seen as a punishment in itself. So prisoners were hanged in a lane near the prison, which we've mentioned before. It was called Tyburn, but that was moved over and then it became, they started using the lane next to Newgate, which is the Old Bailey, which I think we've mentioned as before as well. Now, they've made casts of the heads of murderers after the hangings and keep hold of them and put them on display. And then the murderers were buried under the slabs in the courtyard. And their bodies were covered in quicklime. Now, I used to do tours in the prison where we live.
They do that there.
And they did it there as well. That was another hanging prison. And you could see sometimes there were like names carved on the walls. But there were no graves, just slabs. And you knew under there, there were a lot of buried prisoners that had done awful things. Now, Elizabeth visited Newgate herself in 1813. She was able to get in because she had quite influential friends. She was quite a well-respected family.
I say, didn't they do like have like lady visitors who would, they sort of, it's like a charitable way, like they would go and visit the women there and talk to them about the Bible and, you know,
not really before them. This a lot,
right? I'm just thinking because my knowledge, I've read a lot of Sarah Waters books. I don't know if anyone's into
Fingersmith. Are they all about lesbianism?
Yeah.
She took in the velvet.
Affinity is one where it's set, a lot of it's in Newgate Prison. And there's a lady visit.
Fingersmith was rude.
Also really good. So many twists.
It was good. When she visited the prison, she found 300 women crammed into three different rooms. Lots of them were ill. They had to, and I also remember this from when I was in, I had to pretend to be a prisoner as part of this job. And prisoners had to pay for items like bedding, healthcare and extra food. So they had almost like a menu and it's things that you could buy. And the more money that you had, or you could prize out your gold teeth and use them as payment. So all the jailers were corrupt. You could give them things and you get stuff for money. So if you wanted blankets, that would cost you. They didn't have any empathy. They just wanted to make as much money as they could. Children were sent to prison with their mothers as well.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah, in some ways, but sleeping on the floor, like, imagine.
Oh, yeah, kind of shit.
But where else are they going to go?
I'm going to say, because if you don't like them, what would you have done with them? Like, put them straight to the workhouse.
So, Elizabeth was really upset by the fact that she saw two women fighting over a dead baby's clothes because they couldn't clothe their own baby. And obviously a baby had died in the prison. And she said that really upset her. She found that really traumatic. So the next day, she went back. She took bedding. She took clothes. And she prayed with the women because she was like, I'm not having this. A lot of the women were in prison awaiting trial. So a lot of them...
weren't even guilty.
Yeah, were likely to be innocent. They were sleeping on the floor. They had to cook, wash and sleep in their cells. And they just had to sort of make do in these horrific conditions.
So they weren't even coming around and giving them food. Like, they were having to sort themselves out. Like, do your own cooking.
Yeah, they'd just be like, here's whatever you've got to cook with and sort it out yourselves. So, I mean, I can imagine that you'd have sort of a dynamic, bit of a top dog, but also, it just, if you're bottom of the pile, like some nice, innocent woman just happened to be in there, you're getting screwed over. So, Elizabeth became a regular visitor at the prison. She gave the women clothes. She started a school for the children that went there, so they weren't just roaming around all day. She also created a chapel. She created a system where an educated prisoner would take charge of a group of women and then she'd be responsible and encourage them to have good hygiene, and they'd cook their meals in little groups, which made a massive difference to the way that the prison was run. And why not? I mean, if you've got educated people in there, and you might as well use their skills.
Yeah.
She tried to take the focus from punishment to reform. So instead of just they're getting locked in their job done, it was more... going to give them the opportunity.
Repent.
Yeah.
Stop singing.
Yeah. No songs. And she made sure that the prisoners had self-respect, encouragement, and they didn't just feel like they were labelled criminals. So she really had a big impact just on Newgate. But obviously, what happens in Newgate, what happens in London, spreads elsewhere.
Like Tinder.
Yeah. In 1819... In 1819, Elizabeth wrote a book encouraging others in high society to go and see Newgate and to see the conditions for themselves. So she wasn't that academic, but she's written a book. Done all right. She founded the Association for the Reform of the Female Prisoners in Newgate. Say that three times fast.
I wasn't listening the first time.
Which later spread to other areas, and they renamed it. The British Ladies Society. For promoting the reformation of female prisoners.
So just longer. Look, we bought t-shirts and we want the name to fill it.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
So Elizabeth made it compulsory for female prisoners to also learn a skill during their time. So they mostly learned sewing, but then they could sell those items locally and then they could afford to pay for things in the prison.
Nice.
During this time, Elizabeth was still caring for her 11 children. Now, obviously, she had some help, but she's getting stuff done. And she did lose one of the children to just a childhood illness. Right. So she had that to contend with as well, but she channeled that pain into helping others. So she's pretty brilliant. Now, she used connections to her brother-in-law, Thomas Buxton, an elected MP, to get her work promoted in the House of Commons. And she was invited to give evidence in the House of Commons. And she told everyone about how disgusting it was in Newgate. But you can imagine. And she's the first woman to present anything in the House of Commons. But you can imagine. What do you think the response of the male MPs was?
The women that are in there are no good anyway. They don't deserve anything.
It's more specific to Elizabeth, really.
Oh. What do you know of? Wench.
A little bit, yeah. So, and also, nail in the coffin for, they're not going to murder her, but she also spoke out about, she was a bit anti-capital punishment.
Oh, shit.
They didn't like that.
Well, they didn't really love the Quakers massively anyway, did they?
No.
Because a lot of people that emigrated to America were Quakers.
Yeah, so they weren't all clapping and cheering for her by any means. They were a bit like, who asked a woman in here? And why is she spouting bullshit?
Why isn't she fucking smiling?
Yeah. Why aren't she singing a song? So, she'd solved the prisons. Well, she'd helped...
done.
She'd fixed the prisons. No, she'd helped the prisons. But she wasn't done. Walking through London at one point, she came across the body of a frozen boy who'd been living homeless. And it was in winter and he'd just literally frozen to death. And as a result of this, she thought, right, well, my next task is I'm going to help the homeless. She set up a nightly shelter and had volunteers who would visit the poor to provide support and comfort. And then that got spread around other cities. Women, prison, done. Homeless, she's getting that. Now, at this point, obviously she's living off her husband's money.
Mm.
He goes bankrupt.
Oh, shit.
1828. It's all right, because her brother's inherited everything from her father, and he's a business manager. So she's got another benefactor now. Right. So she's sorted. So in 1840, she decided that she'd done the homeless, she'd done the prison, she wants a new challenge. So she's going to set up a training school for nurses. So the aim of that was to provide nurses that were caring and Christian. Oh, I don't know why they've got to be Christian. If they weren't, they might.
Well, I suppose you want, you know, if you are dealing with people that are dying, you want people that, you know, are caring about the souls, not just the bodies.
As long as they treat me as well. Don't just pray over my dying body.
Yeah.
She made it so women had to sign up for 3 to 7 years service. So she wanted part-timers. They're like, if you're coming in, you're coming in for 3 years.
In blood.
Yeah. But, and also she would...
Give me your firstborn child as payment.
If they left early, she'd fine them. I mean, maybe they could do this to cope with a teaching crisis.
No, don't keep her.
Like, you come in, if you don't do your 3 years, you got to pay us. So it worked. System was successful and they rolled it out across Oxford,
Paris. I wouldn't sign up for... I don't... When EE contact me and be like, oh, do you want to extend your contract? No. Like, there's no way I could commit to 3 to 7 years of anything.
No. Well, women did. I mean, I guess you didn't really have much else to do then. You're not going to move to... You're not going to move.
I'm going to go leave Norwich and go outside of Norwich.
Yeah. So...
It could happen. I've got a dream.
She also was quite a heavy influence.
Gonna make it to Cromer.
No, where's Cromer?
Norfolk.
Oh, yeah.
They sound the same.
Yeah. Norwich, Norfolk. I'll never know which one's which. Which one's Alan Partridge?
Norwich.
Okay. She also heavily influenced Florence Nightingale with this nurse training programme that she put in. I mean, I don't know if people just assume that because they're both women who do medical stuff.
She's a nurse. She saw a nurse, wanted to be a nurse. Well done.
Because she was a woman in the spotlight, she got a lot of criticism, though. People said she wasn't fulfilling her role as a mother.
They say they're all going to be judging about her kids, aren't they? Who's looking after them?
Yeah. Saying that she wasn't being a good wife. They were giving her too much credit.
She's being a bloody good wife. You can't be a shitty wife and manage to somehow have 11 children. How do you think that happens? Yeah. She has been a good wife on at least 11 occasions.
But the Queen bloody loved her. Definitely. So she invited her around for dinner. And she also gave money to charitable causes that she was doing. So Elizabeth died in 1845 in Ramsgate, Kent. So within her life, she'd helped female prison standards, those in poverty, nursing for the poor. She'd also been involved in anti-slavery as well. When she died, the seamen of the Ramsgate Coast Guard flew at half mast as a sign of respect, which isn't a euphemism.
I can't even, there's not even a joke to make there. It just is what it is.
It is what it is. Which is something that they only usually do for ruling monarchs. And over
something I only do after a drink or two.
So 1,000 people attended her burial and she had a massive impact on future generations.
Isn't she on a fiver now?
Yeah.
I was waiting for that bit the whole time. Like, now say the fiver thing!
Now she's on a £5 note. So if you want to see her,
just spend some money. Yeah. And then donate that money to our Patreon.
Amazing. So remember, listening to Slaughter doesn't make you a psycho, especially this week. So, I just wanted to thank everyone who has been supporting us on Patreon. We really, really appreciate your support. You've been fantastic in supporting us for all this time. So, a quick shout out to those of you who are supporting us. We want to thank Jessica Cole,
Lise, Simon Box, Clay Anderson, Joshua Nichols, Kate, Maggie Price, Jess Thorne, Jenny Morrison, Lulu, Heather Louise, Christian Lewick, Lorna Violet, Andrew Eastwood, Emily Anderton, Hayley Ellington, Cassandra Cervantes, Trudy Johns, Will C., Erin Klein, William Muir, Laura Heathcock, Rebecca Manners, Rory Patricus, Emma Millwood, Leslie Booth, Rachel Vaughan Ravenstein, Alex Hale, Tim from the History Dweebs podcast, Claire Cumming, Mi Corazon Mi Amor, Ali Anderson, Megan Kelly, Elizabeth Thurlow, Jim Martin, Lucy Endrodoyova, Leslie Kidd, Morella Brown, Peter Falconer, Angela Felton, Annie Granger, The Fall Line Podcast, Rebecca Pope, Maggie, They Walk Among Us, Off the Cuffs, A Kink and BDSM Podcast, Twisted Philly, Joe DeVee, Jacob Hodge, Hannah Uraganti. Thanks, guys.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.